Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And again, we ask your Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time we can come together in your house to hear your word, to sing songs to you, to worship you. Help us, dear God, during this time that we can take everything else of this world out of our minds. And we can just focus on the hearing and the preaching of your word, Lord, and just pray you'd speak to our hearts from heaven. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you notice in this text, the Bible says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And notice that word revealed is present tense, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And there's two things that are listed there. You have ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, our God, the God that we serve, He is not a distant God. He's not a God that is so far away that He does not see what's happening in this world. He's not a God that's so distant or unconcerned with man that He doesn't care about the affairs of man, or He's too busy to notice what goes on in this world. But He's a God that sees everything. Proverbs 5:21 says this, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all of his goings." Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." And I just again want to say, there's nothing in this world that escapes God's eyes. Though it may seem like God doesn't see and God doesn't notice, God sees everything. And this Bible is a warning to the human race. This passage, especially, this verse 18 here, you have a warning here, and it's telling us that all people, including myself, all of us, we stand guilty before God. And all people desperately need the gospel. They desperately need Jesus Christ to forgive their sins and have their sins washed away. And what this passage is dealing with, you notice in verse 18, it's dealing with the wrath of God. Now, the wrath of God being spoken about here, which is mentioned many times in the Bible, is not a joke, and the wrath of God is not a scare tactic, but the wrath of God is a real danger that people need to be aware of, need to understand what the Bible says about God's wrath. Now, that word wrath, the wrath of God, is talking about God's violent anger, His holy and just indignation against sin, against sin. And again, this wrath that we're talking about is God's anger against all the wrongdoings and wickedness of mankind, okay? And the Bible tells us that God's wrath, it burns hot. His rage, it grows and it grows and it grows. And as time goes on, and as man continues to sin, this wrath, it burns hotter and it burns hotter and it burns hotter. Deuteronomy 4:24, this is how God describes Himself. This is God's words. "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." Hebrews 12:29, "For our God is a consuming fire." Talking about that wrath of God, it's a burning fire. Romans 1:18 again, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness." I thought it was very interesting. The two things that's listed here is ungodliness and unrighteousness. Every form of the word ungodliness appears in your Bible 31 times. Every form of the word unrighteousness appears in your Bible 31 times. Okay? But these are the two things that God's wrath is revealed from heaven against. These two things is what He points out. So let's begin with the first one. And the first one is ungodliness. What is ungodliness? Well, ungodliness is exactly what it sounds like. It is the opposite of being godly. This is a complete disregard for God and His commandments. This is having no reverence for God, no respect for God, a refusal to worship God, to honor God, And this is actually an offense where you're actually offending God personally against His very nature. It's literally the opposite of everything that is godly. And you're going against God's being. Psalm 10 verse 4 says this: "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." So the wicked person, he doesn't think about God. You think about people of this world. Do they ever think about God? Do they ever think about what pleases God or what displeases God? They don't think about what offends God or what angers God. You know, most people in this world, all they care about is, can I get away with it? Will man catch me? You know, can I do this and the cops not catch me? Can I steal this and the store clerk not catch me? Or you know, can I do this and the judge not know about it? Can I deceive my parents? Can I deceive my boss? That's what people are concerned about. Can they fool man? But they never think about that the fact that, again, God's eyes are everywhere and God sees everything. Now, this ungodly, there's a passage in your Bible. In fact, when you go in the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms opens up. The whole book of Psalms opens up with a passage about a warning against the ungodly in particular. And in Psalm chapter 1, listen to what Psalm 1 says. Psalm 1:1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And you'll notice in that chapter, you hear the counsel of the ungodly, you hear the way of the ungodly, they shall not stand in the judgment. God's going to get them, the ungodly, those that don't care about God. And here's some more examples of this in the Bible. Now, the Bible is going to give you some examples from the Old Testament about God's wrath specifically against the ungodly as a warning to us today. 2 Peter 2:5. "And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." When the flood came, the Bible says, what kind of people did God destroy the world? What kind of world was this world full of? What did God say they were? Ungodly. Ungodly people. 2 Peter 2:6. "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and condemned them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly." What did God call the people that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah? What did He call them? Ungodly. And what did God do with the people in the flood and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? His wrath was poured out and they were all destroyed. There's an example of God's burning wrath against these sins. Now, the Bible says, again, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Now, again, unrighteousness is talking about all transgressions, all sin, all wickedness, all wrongdoing. Now, I'll remind everyone that God is holy and God is perfect and God, He doesn't sin. Psalm 92:15 says this: "To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him." Jesus said this in John 17:8: "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory, that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." There is no unrighteousness in him. However, the unrighteousness of men, where men do as they please, and they think they can get away with it, God will judge them. When people live as wicked people and they live in their iniquities, God's wrath burns against them, and God's going to judge them for that. Proverbs 8:13 says this, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate." You notice there, God actually points out that there's some things He hates. Psalm 5:5 says this, "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Now, what did God say about workers of iniquity? Did He say He enjoys what they do and He tolerates it? But what was God's words? God's words was, "Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." There is a holy, righteous hatred, burning wrath of God against people that work iniquity. And it burns hotter and hotter and hotter. And that's what this Bible is warning us against. Psalm 7:11 says this, "God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day." And that's what the Bible is telling us. God is angry and angrier and angrier. And as people keep sinning, He's getting more and more angry. Now, we're going to talk more about that in a second. But I want to show you what people do. This is what man does with this. Man takes what they know. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had something wrong with you physically, and you thought the worst, and you was afraid to go to the doctor because you was afraid what the doctor might say? Maybe you had a lump, or you had something, and you was afraid, if I go to the doctor and he says I've got a disease or I've got cancer, and so you put it off because you just don't want to know. You see, people do that all the time. And sometimes people, when they know the truth, they put it off and they suppress it. And this is what God's talked about in Romans 1:18. Now listen to what He says. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." But notice what men do. "Who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So here's what man does. Man takes the truth of God. It takes what God has said, and they don't want the truth. Man doesn't want what God has given them. By the way, what did Jesus say about the truth? What does the truth do? It will set you free. Okay? Man doesn't want that. But man wants to live in sin. He wants to be a servant to sin. He wants to be in bondage. He wants to do what he thinks makes him happy by doing all the things that this world has. So he wants to suppress the truth. He doesn't want to hear the truth. He doesn't like the truth, so he doesn't want to hear it. So he pushes the truth away. He pushes God's truth away. He pushes God's word away. He suppresses it and he ignores it. And even though it's obvious and God is speaking to him, he pushes God's truth away. Now, in your Bibles, flip over to Romans chapter 2 and look at verse 14. Look at Romans 2:14. Look at what it says here. "For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by the nature of the things contained in the law, these having not the law are law to themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing and excusing one another." Now, you can take the truth and you can suppress it and you can hide it and you can deny it. And you can do all that you want to do. And you can lie to yourself. And you can excuse yourself. And you can blame others, accuse others, and blame others for the things you do. But here's what the Bible says. When God made you, and He made me, He put something in me, and He put something in you. And it's called a conscience. It's a conscience. And whatever I do, and whatever I say, my conscience is with me. And my conscience knows the truth. So that's why when you do wrong and the police hook that little machine up to you, they can tell whether you're lying or not, can't they? Because you know what happens when you lie? Your body reacts. Your conscience tells on you. And that's something we all have, that conscience. Now, the Bible says this. I want you to notice, underline this and look at this in your Bible. Their conscience bearing witness. You know, your conscience will testify against you on the judgment day. And I believe that. You can lie and you can tell God you didn't know, you didn't believe it. You can tell people now you don't know and they may believe you. But on the judgment day, you're not going to tell God you didn't know. You're not going to tell God you didn't know the truth, you didn't believe it, you didn't know and told you. Because your conscience is going to step out and say, He knew it! He heard it! He was in church and I was there. Your conscience and my conscience is going to bear witness against all of us that we're guilty before God. You can't escape your conscience. And I'm telling you, you can suppress it, and you can deny it, and you can lie, and you can play that little game all you want with psychologists. But I'm telling you, on the judgment day, your conscience, the Bible says, will bear witness and testimony against all of us. Your conscience knows. God put it in you. There's no escaping your conscience. And that's the truth. Now, I know you're not going to get this preaching down in Houston from Joel Osteen. And I'll tell you why. Because Joel Osteen don't love you. But I do. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Because I want all of us to go to heaven together. That's why I'm telling you this. So people reject the truth. They reject the truth. Now, Romans chapter 1 verse 20, look what happens. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Do you notice what happened here? They've rejected the truth. Okay? God's creation is clearly seen. God made this world. He made it in such a way that there's no way you can look at the creation and say that there's not a creator. There's no way you can do it. There's nobody that can look at the creation and not see that there's a designer. Now, you may not know who the designer is, but you know there's a designer. You know there's a God. Somebody made the universe. Somebody created it. Clearly, it's seen. And that's what the Bible's saying. You know, the Bible tells us what kind of person doesn't believe in a God. And you know what kind of person doesn't believe in a God? You can find that in Psalm 14:1. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. See, even the most common sense person can tell that there's a God. And so God has made His creation very clear to everybody. And so people, they deny it, and they deny it, and they deny it. And they reject the truth of God. They take God's truth and they suppress it. 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about this when it says this. For they willingly are ignorant. Willingly ignorant of that the word of God, by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved in the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There you have that warning that God is going to bring a judgment against ungodly men. People, they don't want to believe. They're willingly ignorant of the truth, but God's going to bring His judgment. Jude 1:14 says this, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them that are ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed of their hard speeches and which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Now, you see, God's wrath here is being talked about. His eternal wrath He has set aside for His eternal judgment. So let's talk about this wrath again, God's wrath. Romans chapter 2, verse 5 says this. But after the hardness and impotent heart, treasureth up thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who rendered to every man according to his deeds. Here the Bible's talking about, after the hardness and impotent heart, treasures up thyself wrath against the day of wrath. God is warning us here about a day of wrath. There's a day coming where God will reveal His wrath and pour out His wrath against all of mankind in the day of judgment. There's that great day of coming. And he talks about the hardness and impenitent heart, talking about the unrepentant heart. People that just will not repent. They will not turn to God. They will not get their sins forgiven. Now notice what the Bible's saying in Romans 2:5. What the Bible's saying here, that it says, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. Treasures up thyself. Think about that phrase, treasures up thyself. You know, you got a bank account. You got a savings account. You want that savings account to do what as time goes on? What would you like it to do? Get bigger. Okay? What does God say the wrath account is doing? It's getting bigger. Treasures up thyself unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. You see, as people reject Christ, and as the sinner goes on without salvation, he is storing up wrath and more wrath and more wrath and more wrath. And God is getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And as you keep sinning and keep sinning and keep sinning, God's fire burns hotter and hotter and hotter. And it's like there's a big lake of fire, and there's an old rickety board stretched out across it. You ever walked across a pond or across a creek and had a log or something, and you started walking across it, kind of started giving your way a little bit? You're walking across that lake of fire on a piece of wood, and it's rotten. And as you go, it's buckling more and more and more under your weight. And God's wrath is getting hotter and hotter and hotter as you go. And the only thing that's keeping you from falling in, there's only one thing holding you up. You know what that is? God's mercy. God's mercy is the only thing keeping you from falling in. His mercy is protecting you from falling in that lake of fire. And as you walk out there and it keeps wobbling and wobbling, God is saving you and protecting you by His mercy. But there's a day coming where that mercy is going to be done. But after the hardest and impotent heart treasures up thyself against the day of wrath, God will judge every unforgiven sin. And on that day, the sinner will get everything coming to them. And there will not be one sin that God will overlook, but He will judge everything. And when you go to Revelation chapter 20 and you read that, you're going to find that when God judges people, He judges them according to their works. And by the way, Revelation 20 is not whether you're guilty or not. Revelation 20 is about what you're going to get. He's judging them by what they've done. That's exactly what's happening in Revelation 20. And hell is burning with God's eternal fury. Psalm 21:9 says this, "Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in His wrath, and the fire shall devour them." Psalm 11:6, "Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup." Nahum chapter 1 verse 5, "The mountains quake at him. The hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him." Proverbs 11:4, "Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth him from death." Jesus said this, Matthew 13:42, "And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 24:51, "He shall cut them asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So there is the wrath of God that's stored up against the day of judgment that's going to face every person that dies without Christ, that dies that's not saved. They're going to face the wrath of God for all the things they've done. But I want to show you something. What's our text say? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. This text is not talking about the future wrath. It's talking about the present wrath. So what does that mean? What does it mean about God's present wrath. John 3:36 says this, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." What does it mean when God's wrath abides on you right now? Well, I'll tell you what it means. And I'll show you what it means in Scripture. The Scripture is going to show you in this text what it means when God's wrath abides on you right now. Right now, what it means. Romans 1:24. "Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up." And there's the second time I've read that. "God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was meet. And as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," you hear that? They didn't want to think about God. They didn't want God in their knowledge. "God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Such wickedness. Now you think about where we're at today in our society. You have a society where man is so wicked, they get so perverse. And the Bible's describing to you what happens when God reveals His wrath on a nation. Look at the condition of our nation today. The things that our nation does and accepts and tolerates and glorifies. And if you speak against it, there's something wrong with you. Okay, we tolerate things that the Bible says is so wrong. You see how the wrath of God is revealed. And what shows us is how as a nation turns away from God, that nation will get more perverse. Now, we're to the point that when we listen to the news and the most vile, perverse thing that could ever happen, you hear on the news, we don't even blink an eye at it, do we? We're not even shocked anymore. Not hardly anything shocks us because our nation has gotten so far from God. Here's the wrath of God. God will abandon you. God will abandon you. And it's almost like you're going down a creek. God just gives you a push towards destruction. The creek, it's going down. It's going down to oblivion. Instead of God holding you back, God just gives you a push towards it. He says, "You want to go that way? There you go. I'll just let you go." God gives them over. You want to reject me? You don't want to think about me? You don't want me in your knowledge? You don't want me to deal with you anymore? You don't want me to speak to you? You won't repent? See, people's minds get so messed up. They get so wicked. They get so corrupted. The Bible calls it a reprobate mind. Their mind is so wicked that they'll defend the most perverse thing. They'll defend it and they'll fight you over the most perverse thing. Their minds are so reprobate and corrupted. That's where we're at today. And we see this in nations. We see this in church denominations. We see this in churches. Don't we? They'll have pastors. And you'll have homosexual pastors and lesbian pastors in denominations and in churches because we have turned so far from the truth of what God's Word says. God has given them over to a reprobate mind. You know, Brother Ernest Cornish said this. There's five stages to get abandoned from God. And listen to these five stages. First, you tolerate sin. Do you remember hearing a whole lot of things about being tolerate sin? Tolerate sin, then you accept sin, then you celebrate sin, then you're forced to participate in the sin, and then you're punished for not participating in the sin. And that's where we are. Do you want a picture of this in the Bible, in the Old Testament? I can give you a picture of it. King Samuel. Remember King Saul, rather. King Saul. King Saul, if you remember the story, I'm not going to turn there for time's sake, but over in 1 Samuel 15:22, you'll remember this. Samuel rejected the word of the Lord, is what the Bible says. He rejected the word of the Lord, and then the Bible says God rejected him. He rejected to hear God's word, God rejected him. And then when you go later to 1 Samuel 28, verse 6, he wanted to hear from God, but the Bible says God wouldn't speak to him anymore. God didn't talk to him. God gave him over to a reprobate mind. And so what did Saul do? Do you remember what Saul did? Who did he go talk to? He went talk to a witch. He went talk to a witch to find information. So what is the greatest need of mankind today? Man's greatest need is the gospel. That's what we need. If you want to be saved from the wrath of God, there's only one thing that's going to save us. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need the gospel and I need the gospel. If we're going to escape the wrath of God, we've got to have our sins forgiven. We've got to have Jesus wash our sins away. That's the only thing. Romans 1, 16 and 17, the verses just prior to this say this. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now in Romans 4, 5, the Bible says this. This is what it's talking about. We talk about the ungodly. Here's salvation for the ungodly. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. When you believe on Christ, the ungodly, they are saved. Romans 5, 6 says this. For when we yet without strength in due times, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What saves all of us from God's wrath? There's only one thing that will save us. Jesus Christ, being born again, having your sins forgiven. That's going to save all of us from the wrath of God. My question to you is, do you need to be saved today? Do you need to be born again? Have you had your sins forgiven? Are you safe from the wrath of God? Now, there's a day coming. Every single one of us in this room are going to stand before God. And every one of us is going to give account of our lives. Every one of us are going to stand before God. Have you made things right with God? Here's my last verse here. I'm going to close with this. Hebrews 12:25. See that you refuse him not that speaketh. For if they escape not and refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Is God speaking to you today? Is God dealing with you today? The warning is this. Don't turn away from him. If God is dealing with your heart and you're not sure about your soul, don't turn away. Don't go out those doors uncertain. Make sure today, if you need to come pray, if you need to talk, and we need to go through the Bible, we can talk. But if you're not sure about your soul, if you feel something inside of you, that's good. That means God's dealing with you. There's a lot of people that feel nothing. But if you feel something today and you feel the need to come to the altar, that's the Holy Spirit of God dealing with you. You need to listen to that voice. You need to listen to that voice while he's speaking to you. Because you keep pushing that voice away and you keep not listening to that voice, there'll come a day where that voice will never speak to you again. If God's dealing with you today, I implore you, you listen to that voice. Let's stand together.